Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast, Captivate the Room, episode number 21. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I teach people how to step into their voice power so they can speak their truth beautifully while making a big impact. You can find out more about me at CaptivateTheRoom.com, and remember, you get 25% off all of my courses with the code PODCAST. Thank you, as always, for your downloads and your shares. I'm so honored to be on the new and noteworthy list. Thank you for helping me get there. But most of all, thank you for simply being here with a desire to make a big impact with your voice. Today, I have got such a delightful guest, and I know you are going to get so much valuable information today. Today, I'm talking with the wonderful, amazing Scott Scowcroft.
Let me tell you a little bit about Scott. Scott brands himself as the reluctant entrepreneur, which I love, and I'm going to have him tell us all about that. And he never looked back. After over 30 years in broadcasting and marketing, he found himself jobless in Seattle, but saved by technology that brought video production and distribution within reach of anyone who has a camera, microphone, and access to the internet. Through what has become known as the Scott treatment, he now helps entrepreneurs, small businesses, and others to leverage the power of video into online engagement, marketing, and sales. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, Tracy, thank you for having me. This is a conversation I've been looking forward to for quite some time.
Well, me too. And just so the listeners know, and this is, we're going to talk all about what you do, but we're going to talk about the power of video and making connections. And that's exactly how Scott and I met. Scott and I met online through a group, through a course program. And, you know, I feel like I know you. I feel like I've known you forever.
You know, and that's one of the powers of video. And of course, people are listening to podcasts, and it happens there as well. But man, when you're able to see someone on, in this case, I guess we used to call it closed circuit, but you can look in their eye, you can see their body language. It's just exactly like sitting across the table from them when you're out having coffee, except for you don't have that pesky little problem of geography, because you can have two people with streaming media. Right now, we're looking at each other on Zoom, but there are maybe a half a dozen different free platforms out there where if you've got a camera, you can just look at each other and communicate as if you're in the same room. So I, too, feel as if I know you, as if, you know, you're just another one of my friends. And it's beginning to turn out that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I feel like I should have had a cup of coffee in my hand, and then it would be like we're down at the cafe. Now, we just would have to decide if we're in, you know, where you are, or over here on the other coast where I am. But, you know, I had Billy Bob Brigman on the show a while back, and our whole conversation was about his use of video. And he was talking about something. I want to get your opinion on this, how crucial video is now for making and establishing those connections with people.
Yeah. Well, I'm fond of saying that video is a 21st century skill. Mm. When we were growing up, I'll phrase it this way. My dad did not know how to type, and he was a great architect. And he worked into almost age 80 and almost to the 1990s. And for the last 10 years of his professional life, he was an anachronism, because almost everyone knows how to type, and increasingly people were using computers in architectural specifications. And he was so good that the firm that he was with, you know, let him do as he pleased, and they were able to accommodate him, but it was increasingly impossible. And now, of course, people say, you have to know how to type in order to function in the society. Well, I predict that acquiring video skills going forward is not unlike just having the skills of talking on the telephone. And I can remember, maybe you remember the episode, if you watched Downton Abbey, on one of the first or two episodes they ever had, the butler is introduced to the telephone and he's just so absolutely awkward on it. He doesn't know how to answer it or anything. If you remember that scene, it's wonderful. And that's where we are today in terms of video. And in just a few months or a few years from now, everyone is going to be on video, and those who have mastered it, including video editing, they will have a competitive edge over everyone else. And those of us who don't do that will be in the same situation or a similar one as my dad found himself in as the world moved along, and quite frankly, he didn't.
I couldn't agree more. And I've been saying that for years. You know, I'm a voice expert, but I do a lot of on-camera training. And I read an article several years ago, and I'm going to have to go back and find it. That said something like, in 5 to 7 years, all of purchases are going to be made through video. Well, guess what? It's 5 to 7 years, and that's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like is happening. But do you think some of that, how do you feel about it in terms of connection? Do you feel like people are needing that face, that body language, whereas, you know, before, and no criticism, but are we moving beyond Facebook posts, Twitter posts, and looking for something more? Are we looking for something, I need to see you?
Yeah. Well, let me frame the answer to your question in this way, Tracy, and that is that in my opinion, the internet is hitting the reset button. It's not evolutionary, it's revolutionary. It's a generational change in terms of the power that you and I have as individuals and entrepreneurs and small businesses have, because it absolutely levels the playing field. So now, at one time, it used to be that you had to be rich or famous in order to get the word out to the rest of your constituency or to your customers. It's that one-to-many communications, and that's part of what we're talking about. So now, and the one-to-many communications, we all know what that is. It's advertising on the radio, or it's advertising on television. And now people are not getting their information from radio or television as much. They're getting it from their smartphone and from their TV, or rather their monitor for their computer. And what appears on that, we have, you have, I have the ability to appear on that monitor and through those speakers one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so you've got text and you've got audio, but there is no medium out there that is more powerful than video. And people, you're right, if they have an opportunity to see something, and increasingly in short spurts, like anything from 30 seconds to 2.5 minutes, if there is a video on that, statistics show that people will click on that and it will make a stronger bond than if they have to go searching and reading through paragraphs or audio is also up there with video, because people are listening to the podcast right now.
Yeah.
So they already know the power of audiovisual communications. This is convenient for them. So it's not that it's one is bad and the other is good. It's that there is a right balance. And if you happen to be an entrepreneur or a small business person, you have the power to include video in that mix and be more competitive than all of your competition who, for whatever reason, are so 1990-like and not embracing video as part of your outreach.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I say, it sounds harsh, but I say, if you're not on video, you're going to get left behind.
Absolutely. There's internet time. Do you realize that the smartphone has only been out for, what, 11 years now?
Wow, that's it.
Yeah. So think of how far forward that we've gone. And you've got to be absolutely flexible. It used to be that you could create a business and have an expectation that it could go on that business model, that business plan for 5 or 10 years or off to the future. Now businesses have abandoned, for the most part, the traditional business plan because things change so rapidly. Mm-hmm. It isn't that they don't have long-term goals and it isn't that they don't do things competently, but they need to be more flexible. And part of the technological revolution that's going on is the introduction of real-time communications back and forth. If something isn't resolved within 24 hours, then, you know, that's too late. It used to be two weeks when you were exchanging things through the post office. So to be able to appear on, and you'll love this, to be able to appear on video, the most important thing that you can do is to have good lighting, is to look in the camera rather than in your monitor, because people will feel like they're actually connecting with you when you look in the camera. But you know what's even more important than that? It's having good audio.
Mm-hmm.
You can have all sorts of different video, but if your audio on video is lacking, people are unforgiving of that and they're going to go away. So the two elements of that, in my opinion, are fine textured audio signal, and then it's your voice and how you utilize your voice.
And I've heard you say that before. I've heard you talk about audio before, and of course, you know, I love that because you know what I do. But I think even, you know, the voice perspective and where you are at vocally aside, I think you're spot on. People will be a little more forgiving. Your lighting's not so great. But if your sound, people will just only work so hard to hear you, I believe. And that's, you know, that's the whole voice thing. If you're not interesting, people are not going to listen, you know.
So I'm going to run this by you. My background is in helping people, lay people, get comfortable with video and getting their message out. And what I always say is the very first thing in terms of being on camera is just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. Don't try and, you know, have a personification that isn't you. You wear the clothes that you're comfortable in. That doesn't mean that you know, if you happen to, you know, have salty language, that you would necessarily use it. It's that you can have, it's how you dress yourself. I mean, on Sundays, you dress a particular way. You have business casual or business formal. You know that you're going to go to the beach. So you have appropriateness in terms of how you appear on camera. But the very first thing that you need to do is to be yourself. And I'm always thinking in terms of that, of, you know, your gestures and, you know, just not putting up these defenses. Is there a corollary in terms of how you vocally present yourself in making presentations, or
with regards to identity? Kind of, but kind of in a different way. When I think of that, I think of the patterns that are hurting people that they've developed over the years. So I'll give you an example. Somebody has a pattern where they speak really fast if they get to a part that they don't want to say, but they'll do it really fast. And they always do that. Well, they're not making the biggest impact on that part because of a pattern that they've established. So when you say that to me, that was my hesitation was, well, yeah, kind of, but not in a good way like you're talking about in a good way.
All right. And as I coach or advise people, you start with being yourself and then you tweak from there, because people can be themselves. And, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are as powerful as they can be. So maybe we're both on the same page there, because once Well, at least in my opinion, you start off with the foundation of being who you are. And if you're not, and there's a meritocracy out there. I don't know about as much about audio, but with video, people can see the facial expressions and the body language, and people can recognize a rat a mile away. So if you're being phony in the least, it's going to come through loud and clearly. So there's a meritocracy. If you are yourself and you're a crummy person, that's going to come across as well. So you have to change yourself on the inside if you want to be liked on the outside.
Well, in that respect, absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, I agree with you 100%. I think people absolutely have to start where they're at and you grow from there. You know, it's how I equate my world to technology. I had to start where I was and I continue to learn. But I call what you're talking about undervoice. And I hear that we've got the voice that you hear, but if you're mad when you give that presentation, we're going to hear it. You know, the boss wants you to do that, but you don't want to do it. Well, guess what? That internal, I'm going to hear it. And that's the same with the psychology of the voice. It's linked to fear. It's linked to vulnerability. And so, yeah, ultimately, we want to look at that inside and we want to say, okay, wait a minute, it's safe to have a pause because a pause is going to be powerful to me. But yes, authenticity, being yourself, your real voice. I think sometimes people come to me expecting me to create this voice. Well, I don't believe in that. I mean, we can't all sound like James Earl Jones, nor why would we want to, you know? But we've got to get to that real voice. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So there are correlations between video and audio. I'm thinking of my a next door neighbor who's since moved away, and actually she's passed on. I would love to listen to what she'd have to say, because she just came from such a great, wonderful, and when she became indignant, man, that was one of the biggest treats you could possibly imagine, because you know, you knew that there was a deep well that she was she was drawing from. That's good to hear. And so
Well, and I think people don't realize that. I think people don't realize that maybe the audience is picking up on, you know, I worked with a man, just a delightful man. And when he initially called me, he said, I think I'm repelling people with my voice. And I said, well, let's find out. Sure enough, there was this whole long story of I have to prove things. It was so entrenched that when he would communicate with business associates trying to get deals, he felt the need to prove that he was worthy of the work, and it was coming through in his voice. Mm-hmm. So I think the same thing, yeah, it's definitely true on camera. I think maybe sometimes we think we have to be movie stars. We have to be TV anchors. We have to be something that we, you know, the world perceives as, oh, this is right. This is beautiful. This is perfect. You know, I was a professional actor for years. If you didn't, and I was a professional actor in the 80s, you know, if you didn't have blonde curled under hair, you know, and that whole deal, you weren't going to get cast. Well, we don't live in that world anymore. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
You know, you're reminding me of a great story. Went from a marketing background for a small hospital and just dove into the internet. And I had a video background, but I was always in management or I always was doing other things. But there was a weekly show that a friend, turned out to be a friend in Montreal, hosted. And I was one of the panelists on this YouTube show. And that came about because I was on a different show that I had with a friend, and she and I were just learning the technology. So I didn't anticipate that anyone would be actually hearing or listening to it. So I get a video call from him, and this was early on, and he said, I'm watching the replay of what you just did, and it's terrific. And I said, you're not supposed to say that. And he said, why? And I said, well, we're just practicing. Well, since we were practicing, I was being myself. I wasn't trying to be anyone other than who I was. And so I was making flaws all over the place. I was like your friend. If I knew that I had a real audience out there, I would have had to have tried to prove myself, and it would have come across that way. And Ray said, no, don't try and change anything from what you're doing with this pilot or this test show that you are putting on, because you were so genuine. It reminded him of TV, mid-afternoon TV shows of the late 1960s. And something clicked in my head at that time. And it was, okay, if that's what people like, then I'm just going to go ahead and be myself and not care what the audience thinks about me, even though I do care. And it's that balance. And so, and that was also something that is valuable for a number of my clients, because what I do professionally is I edit shows that people have, just regular people, they'll get on and they'll do an hour-long program. And there are two things that need to be done for an hour-long program usually. One of them is to cut them up into small bite sizes, because people like to have golden nuggets. They like to have, a frequently asked question that they can get the answer to a single topic within 2 or 3 minutes. So one of them is to repackage it for the way that consumers want to receive their information nowadays, and that's in short videos out of that hour-long program that they had. Podcasts are different. People want to have something that's the right length because they're exercising. Well, they know why they want podcasts, but with video, oftentimes it's a short. The other thing is that there's wasted space on video. People, when they're answering a question, as an example, will be thinking in the back of their head, what is that script? What is it that I really am going to do in order to answer that question? So they have filler material. And then once they've got the script in, then they transition from that filler material to the real answer. So it might be, Tracy, that's a really good question. I was thinking about that the other day. That's the filler material. Nobody cares about that. So you can edit that out in video editing or in audio editing. The other major problem I feel people have are what I call video tics. Mm-hmm. Where they say, things like that. And incidentally, those can be cut out as well. Those can be with, so in a 5 minute answer, you can take that down usually to 3.5 minutes in maybe anywhere from 15 to 45 physical edits.
And I want to talk about those snippets, but I want to jump back to something you said real quick, because I absolutely love it. And it's that I think that's one of people's biggest problems, is they're not themselves. They feel that need, that altered conversation. And I think that's why what tanks so many people on their first line out of the gate is they feel this pressure to be on. And so I like to tell them, start the conversation beforehand. Who are you talking to? Start talking to them. And then hit the button. And you're in the middle, you're already in the conversation. So you don't have that awkwardness of that, oh, hi, Scott, good to see you. Because I think that's tough for people. It's just a weird scenario for so many people. Who am I looking at? Who am I talking to?
Well, that sounds like good advice, Tracy. It's the real world equivalent of when you sit down with someone, you always have a little bit of small talk first. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you? Did you have trouble coming over here today? What do you think about the weather? Where are you from? Whatever it is, there's that just 30 seconds or minute or however long it is of small talk. And then you say, okay, now let's get business down to business. And that's essentially what you're saying, isn't it?
Is that
before you hit the record or before you go live, you just engage a little bit in, I was in radio for a while, and some of the first, you know, the classic advice of radio is that you're not talking to all those people out there. You're talking to just one person. So you visualize the one person you're talking to, or there might be two or three or something like that. But it's individuals who are really there rather than that big massive crowd. So what I think I hear you're saying is, in your mind, engage with that one person in small talk, and then once you've got that rhythm and momentum going, then you just transition into what you really want to talk about, and that's where the all those people out there join the conversation.
That's right. That's it, exactly. And what that achieves, and this is what you're saying in a nutshell as well, is that feeling like you're sitting at my dining room table. And you know, oh, hey, Scott, good to see you today. Except I leave the Scott part. Hey, good to see you today. Welcome to the channel. You know, and so you start in the zone connected. And I think that it's that disconnect from the zone that creates a lot of that and you know, just that lack of connection to the material and being grounded and, you know, being in that space of I'm in my zone, I know who I'm talking to, and I'm in my flow, just in that flow.
And the next thing also is don't do it just once. It's not as if you could hit the ball out of the park the first time you step up to the plate. It's that you step up to the plate, and the more practice you have, the more comfortable you can become. I was associated with a community access television station for 20 years in Seattle. I managed the studio, and I saw hundreds of people come in, and we had more live programming through our small TV studio than any other station in town, because we had like 20 live programs a week, and oftentimes it'd be a half an hour program back to back between our two studios. And so someone from the community would come in, and the first season they went from not knowing anything to, by the end of the 13-week season, they were just absolutely as comfortable with their audience and with what they were doing as possible, because they had 12 examples of doing that beforehand. And then the next season that they were on for 13 weeks, they'd start experimenting, they'd be doing other things. And after a couple of years, they were as fully professional as anyone you'd like to see on radio or TV. And these were just regular people doing something that they loved in their spare time.
I love that. I love that. And Billy Bob even brought up something very similar. He said, just know that the first 20, you're not going to like, but you got to get through them. Don't stop in the middle and chunk it away for another 3 months. Just get through it, because every one of them is going to get better. I mean, do you think a professional athlete did it one time and it was as good, you know, and then they're on the Jets? I don't think so. They practice and they practice and they practice. Everything is like that. So that's really, really good advice. And I believe that to be true as well. Now let's go back to these snippets, because this is my favorite thing that you do. I think this is the coolest thing ever. And I saw you talk about these in a group that we are in, the OV community here on Google Plus. I believe is this what they call the Scott treatment?
Yes.
It is so spot on. It's those little snippets, those little golden nuggets, and that people are getting incredible traction with that, aren't they?
They are. They absolutely can. And it just is the gift that keeps on giving, because it becomes evergreen. Mm-hmm. Just take out, and this is what editing is anyway, is it's all it is taking whatever is there, and whatever's not needed you dispense with, and then whatever's left over is what people want to be able to hear or watch. So whatever the topic is, you know, put it on video, and then create something that is a bite size that, and if a person is not interested in it, it doesn't matter. You could have the nicest smile and the best background in the world, but nobody's going to watch it. But if you have information that someone desperately wants to learn, then you've got them. And if you can package it together, it's just-in-time learning. And that's the way that people are using their, you know, it's a combination of attention span is less nowadays than it used to be. People have less time, but they also have an enhanced ability to find out the information that they need or they want very quickly. I mean, it's just amazing how you can type in a question into Google and the semantic search and the underlying knowledge graph that they have will give you the answer that you want. And if it is video, that is going to rank higher in SEO, search engine optimization, than if it is only written. And if it is packaged well on your web page, that's even better, because then people will be on your web page and they'll say, well, if this one answer that's 2.5 or 3 minutes long meets my need now, maybe there are other things that this person or this business is presenting that is valuable for me. And bingo, you've got a customer or you've got a fan or you've got a friend.
I love that. I love it so much. In fact, the other day I posted a question in a group I manage on Facebook and I said, I'm redoing my YouTube channel. What do you guys want me to do videos on? And one of my people said, I tell you what you need to do. You've got to get some snippets of you in action training people. It's don't teach us anymore. You teach us so much. You have, I've got 300 teaching videos on that thing. He said, this is what you need. You need to have these little snippets where, okay, Bob's got a problem. We can't understand him. Bob, try this. Boom. We see it. And that's the snippets that you're talking about, and that's that social proof, I guess, as well.
So I say that video editing is a 21st century skill as well. And I would think that anyone who's homeschooling their kids nowadays, boy, what a gift it could be if you could say, here is some really quality video editing software. Now, go off and edit this documentary into 2 or 3 small snippets and then make a presentation to wherever. That mere process of having to discern what is valuable out of a bigger piece, it could be write 2 paragraphs on something that's really valuable, but to be able to show it, the student will learn the entire topic in order to be able to discern that 1 or 2 snippets that they would present to other people, and they'd learn video editing in the meantime, and that's the skill that will serve them for the rest of their life, just like word processing and typing.
Well, and that's where I have finally accepted that I've got to up my game. I struggle. It's just my struggle. It's really my struggle. But I see people doing it. I see it so essential with my videos, with my podcast, with everything.
And then also, we are now in the world of collaboration. So part of video is the idea that it is so easily shared. And what I've been talking about most recently is video that's been recorded and then played back. But video is just the live streaming. I don't know if the people who are listening to this realize it or not, but we're actually looking at each other right now in a streaming media platform called Zoom. Mm-hmm. So there are collaboration tools that are available to us on the internet now that were never available to individuals like us before. So simple editing is something that I think everyone should know, but if there's complex editing, you don't need or you don't necessarily want to do that. They're graphic arts, you take off to a specialist if there's, other sorts of things, and video editing can fall into that. That's where you hire a professional if you're a business, and you send off your video to them. But it's not as if you're sending off something that you know nothing about. It's a little bit like being a business person, know enough about accounting and taxes so that you know finances, but then you hire someone to actually do your taxes for you after a certain point. So I'm not trying to suggest that if you, you know, if you're not editing your own video, then there's something wrong with you. Editing video and audio is a time-intensive activity, but it's something that it's just nice to have that skill set under your skin so that you can be competent and use it to its greatest benefit for you.
For sure, for sure. And I certainly, me personally, I will always leave the majority of the bulk of my work to the professionals. I'm talking about mastering, getting the microphone plugged in and the setting set. But, you know, I think it's a valuable skill set. Will I ever edit my own podcast? I don't know. But I could take my solo shows and learn it. And I think, you know, I just think I'm a learner. And so I think that along with everything changing, we have to learn new skills. You know, my son and I had a conversation earlier today, said, Mom, I don't know about going to 4-year college. And I said, you know, my parents made me go to college. It was not an option. And I said, you know, for you, Jack, I don't know that you need to go to 4-year college. I think you should go to a college with where you really learn a skill, like a design school, you know, something very specialized. But I think it is important to know some of these baseline skills as technology changes, as time changes. I think it's just good to have. But how do you think all of this is impacting education?
Wow. You know, we've not had this conversation before, you and I, Tracy, but my son and I have had, my 16-year-old son, are in the midst of that conversation right now, the very same one, going to a 4-year college. On the one hand, and I believe this to be true, a high school education, as we were growing up, is equivalent, you know, the 4-year degree is equivalent to a high school diploma as we were growing up. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, it is now lifelong learning. And mm-hmm. just because you happen to have a particular degree, there is a very rapid decay of the value of that degree until, you know, just a few years after graduation, people don't care where you graduated from, they care what you've done in the interim. So there are skills that need to be gained regardless of the method, if it's a vocational or if it's on the job learning, those sorts of things. In my opinion, one goes to college for two reasons. One is on the career side, but then the other is you just become a different person. I think mm-hmm. when you leave home, there is a new context, and everything that you had learned and everything that who you are is challenged, and it's a traumatic time, and you kind of emerge on the other side as being yourself. So as parents, you know, we are not friends to our children as we're raising them until they graduate from high school and then they leave. Then they come back, and once they come back, they're, in my opinion, their own person. And then for the first time, you can be not only their parent, but also their friend, because it's more of a equal basis. Well, it might be that there's a little bit of a different model, I believe, that students nowadays have. And so it wouldn't bother me, for example, if my son didn't go immediately into a 4-year degree course, but I'd sure like to have him have the college experience at some point, whether it's in his mid-20s, or I went back to college at age 28 and then graduated after that. So I had kind of a split experience, and that's fine. In Europe, there is a gap year. Oftentimes mm-hmm. people take a year off and then go to college. So, you know, it's a discussion that I think every family has to have.
Well, and everybody's different. You know, I have 3 degrees. I have 2 masters and a bachelor's. So, you know, I'm certainly a huge fan of that. And I think, well, you know what? When I was in college, these other options didn't exist. It wasn't an option for me to go to art and design school. It was this or not. Hmm. You know, so there's more, so many more options now. And even learning back then, I remember every Sunday going to the public library in Houston, Texas, to check out my books and learn. Well, now, like you say, they do. You can learn anything off of YouTube. You got Google. You can learn. I mean, I know people in the autism community that have, you know, they have made massive impact on their children's lives because of Google.
Absolutely. They talk about the youth today, and I still can't believe it, but they say that they'll have seven careers in their lives, not seven jobs, seven careers. And so it circles around to all sorts of different institutions that will satisfy the learning needs of people and of society as it's changing. And we can circle around back to video and to audio being a major communication tool for education. It can be asynchronous, where there is a course that you take that's recorded at the convenience of the instructor, but then it's taken at the convenience of the student. Hopefully there's an opportunity for cross-pollination. If the student has a question, then they can close the loop, but you no longer have to go to an expensive campus and inconvenience yourself. Everyone, you know, 75, you know, 30 people or 300 people in a single lecture hall, for this, it can, any number of different models. So it's really the power of technology is presenting itself in just wonderful ways.
Well, and it's really cool because in one of my masters, you know, we studied gardeners, you know, the different ways that people learn. And I don't really remember being raised that way. You know, I'm very much an active learner. And so undergraduate school was tough for me because it wasn't geared for that kind of learning. And it was hard. And I hated it, you know. I loved my master's degrees and I loved my subjects in my field of expertise, but it seems like that we're more geared for that different kinds of learning with all of technology, for the audio people, for the video learners, for the, you know, and of course books are here, and whether they're online books, you know, like a Kindle, or still a, you know, hardback book, it seems like we're covering all the different types of learners a bit better now than we did back in the 80s.
Yeah. So it's at some point it ceases to be incremental changes, and it's almost as if you've got the earth and the earth rotates. It doesn't rotate. It rotates on its axis, but then it changes poles. So, the North Pole and the South Pole trade places, and then you're in an entirely different universe. And that seems to be, in my opinion, what's happening. And so there are so many things that are so turbulent nowadays. Well, part of that is that old institutions are being, you know, ripped out and new ones are replacing them. Just look at Amazon as opposed to Walmart. And that is about as clear an image of what changes are going on as I can think of.
Do you think that's what has podcasting done that to radio?
Oh man, radio is so different than when I was in it. Yes, I think that podcasting and on-demand listening, it's not as rapid a transformation as happened in the music industry, but no longer are TV stations, for example, having an exclusive chokehold on their local constituency. I mean, cable came in, but even cable operators now no longer are, their model is falling apart because people want a la carte choices and have the ability to watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it, even if it's not one of the major, you know, cable companies. So they're trying to adapt.
Yeah, and that we've seen that everywhere. We've seen it in publishing, we've seen it in music, we've seen it. It's just the whole world, you know, I keep going back to the 80s. I got to get unstuck in the 80s, but gosh, that was not that long ago.
Well, it was not that long ago for you and for me. For young people growing up, the rapidity of change that is occurring is the new norm for them.
Yeah, true.
For us, it just is mind-boggling if you really think about it. But for them, it's just what you expect. And if it doesn't change this rapidly, I mean, can you imagine having the same cell phone, you know, smartphone for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
My son has his that's 5 years old, and it is as if it is ancient.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it seems like just yesterday, I remember walking in with my cell phone that was the size of my handbag and setting it down on the restaurant table and feeling so cool about it because I had that big bag phone. You remember those?
Yeah, I do. I do. I remember the first, you know, we're just chatting right now. I was in a grocery store in the late 90s, and there was a person who had a brick that was, you know, the size of almost two bricks. It was the first cell phone that I ever saw in a grocery store. It was the earliest model, and I was so offended that anyone would be talking on a telephone, a mobile telephone, in a grocery store. That's how things change.
Yeah, now we've got texting and driving and all kinds of things that are, wow. Well, and you know what's so cool? Another thing that's so cool about all this technology, I think is really cool, is how global it all is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I my clients in America are 1/3 of my business. Mm-hmm. 2/3 are in Australia and Russia and India and all over the world. Yeah. Now, how cool is that? Now, back in the 90s, unless I worked for a company that put me on a plane and flew me over to Russia, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have clients there, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. So the footprint that small businesses and entrepreneurs can have, the service footprint, is anywhere in the world. Time and geography no longer are an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is that is just so remarkable. And the collaboration tools that are available so that you can share files on the cloud and both of you working on them at the same time or sequentially. You don't know this about me, but I have a partner who is in Sydney, Australia. She's, you know, my e-learning expert. I'm her video editing expert.
I didn't know that, but you know, 1/3 of my client base is in Australia. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely taken with those people. They are just lovely. Lovely. I'm thinking about going down there this summer. If I can handle the flight.
As well you should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you are an expert in video and audio and all of those things. And I know my listeners would appreciate me asking you this question. For the guy that or gal that's just starting out, you know, I know you probably have really fancy equipment, and I know a lot of my colleagues have fancy equipment, but I get this question all the time. What are the basics that people need to get started making video or audio?
Okay. Well, I think that you have to have a reasonably good computer, laptop, or PC. I would recommend if you would like to have a video editing software that is free, there's an excellent one called Lightworks. You can Google it, and it is in the public domain. And for YouTube quality video, it's perfectly fine. If you want to have the next step up from there, then they would charge you. So I would suggest, instead of having the garden variety editing that comes free with your laptop or your PC, that you go ahead and at least do something like that. And then the least expensive quality editing if you want to purchase something that's a little different, maybe a little bit better than Lightworks, would be Sony Vegas in terms of software. In terms of recording video, it's perfectly fine to do that. You can do it with your smartphone and then download that. That would be okay. get a laptop. Most laptops nowadays have cameras that are pretty good. Or the Logitech 9C920. That camera is HD video. It is, I believe it's under $100. And that would be a terrific camera for you to be able to use. In terms of microphones, you can just go out and get a decent microphone. I happen to like to use a headset with a microphone built into the headset itself. So that always delivers good audio.
Yeah, you sound great. You really sound, I mean, you have a great voice, but you've got a great microphone there as well.
Well, thank you. And to help with the audio, there is a free online, what would it be, audio mixer, and I think this is only for PCs. It's called VoiceMeeter, VoiceMeeter. Go ahead and download that and integrate that into your video audio capabilities. So those, and then the final one is good lighting if you're doing video. And quite frankly, you don't need to buy a professional lighting kit. Go online and see if you can get bulbs that are made for video. You can do your research. There's just tons of great advice out there. And then quite frankly, I use work lights that I got from the local hardware store that cost me no more than, you know, $5 or $6. In fact, I even purchased a few more at a garage sale the other day for $2 each. And those are the ones that I have. And the idea about lighting, have one light on each side of your face at about 45 degrees, and then have another light behind you to illuminate your back and the back of your head. And make sure that the brightest spot in the frame is not real bright light behind you, like a window with the sunlight. Those are the, I would say those are the big rules for video.
That's great. And you have helped me so much over the months that I've known you with great tips on video and audio. And, you know, I believe that holds people back sometimes. Well, I've got to make this investment. I've got to have the studio. I've got, you know, I say start before you're ready.
You know, absolutely. Just whatever it is that you have, there is a certain minimum under which, if you fall underneath a certain minimum, it's really not going to work. But you know, it's so easy to achieve that critical mass. Lighting has to be bright enough so that you can be seen. Audio has to be good enough so that people don't pay. You know, if the audio cannot draw attention to itself, if the audio is just there. Then that's just fine. The ability to upload to YouTube in the cloud for free. Everything that we're doing today would have cost a small market TV station probably in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in the early 1990s.
That's amazing.
We have it's like the satellite communications. Well, it's internet now. Back then, it was satellite. It was high resolution video, high quality audio. It's the ability to record. When I started off in television, it was in the late 60s and early 70s. You had 2-inch tape and. The first color camera I operated cost $80,000 back in 1968. It had 4 tubes. It was Marconi from England. Mm-hmm. Translate that into today's dollars. The cameras that are available today are just amazing.
Yeah.
So, what you said about people being too worried about getting started, it is as easy as can be.
Well, I think, yes. And the key is just to get started.
So just the barrier to getting started is virtually gone away,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. So we just have to get past ourselves and get comfortable being authentic, because I believe that people are looking for connection, real connection. They want to hear your voice. You know, trust is built in the voice. They want to see your face. They want to know you. And with this technology, we feel like we do. I mean, we do.
Well, and that's part of the revolution, is that no longer are people believing or trusting the canned video commercials that are out there. People are now going to go to the Facebook page and say, does anyone know about something? And they'll say, well, you know, I know about Tracy because she's a real person. I've gotten to know her personally. Well, mm-hmm. they got to know you personally because you have your Facebook page, because you're communicating one-on-one and you're building over time relationships. And that's what it's all about nowadays.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, I just, you know, everybody I've interviewed, I have never sat in the same room with them. Yet when I sat down to start thinking about doing a podcast, my thought was, well, I'm going to contact all my friends first.
Yeah.
Because that's how I think about it.
You and I had the same experience. I too have friends all around the world. I believe I've got more friends now online than I do in real life, IRL. And
yeah.
I feel closer to them. And this is a phenomena that people who have not experienced it don't realize. But everyone who has experienced it says, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at online dating. How many people have found their significant other mm-hmm. online in another part of the country or the world? I mean, it's just really amazing. Really, really amazing, the world we live in. And everybody just needs to jump on it and take advantage of it, because the train is just going to keep on rolling.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Well, Scott, tell everybody where they can find you. I think everybody needs the Scott treatment and all of your other services. So tell people where they can find you.
Well, thanks. And it's really easy to find me. It's just going to thescotttreatment.com. And there are examples of what other people have done in terms of their video that created. There must be several hundred, you know, scores, if not a few hundred, different television programs, none of them produced by me, but all of whom lend themselves to a smaller treatment. And the snippets are interesting on their own right, and they also illustrate the power of video.
And I will have Scott's website in the show notes as well, so you can just scroll down and click on that link and head straight over to his website and check out his work and hire him. I just thank you so, so much for your valuable time today. It was just such a joy to get to talk to you here.
Well, this is the first time I think that we've actually connected quite this way, and this time just seems to have flown by. So
I know, right?
I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, thanks for being here, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and thank you again for your shares and downloads, and we'll see you next time.